excited to remind you, and myself included, that there is a sign-up sheet just in the back for snacks. Every Sunday when we gather, we have some sort of snacks. And if we don't bring them, nobody brings them. And then we're kind of hungry. So if you remember, please bring a snack for Sunday morning. Also, there is going to be an Autumn Bazaar fundraiser Saturday, November 22nd, from 9 to 4. It will be downstairs. If you would like to have a vendor table, if you would like to set one up, the cost is $15. And please contact Sarah if you would like to join or even just come in and have questions. What might be there? Please see Sarah. Find out all that information. Also, if you would like to be on the worship team, please come talk to me. Please come talk to me. Even if you're like, I don't know how to play an instrument, that's okay. I don't either. So if you want to raise your voice up to the Lord and sing to him up here, please come say, hey, I can do that. I would love to serve in this capacity. Also, we were hosting a Celebrate Recovery here, and a few leaders have come to me asking for it to just kind of be on pause. And so right now, it is on pause in order for it to be restructured. If you also have personal questions, please come to me asking about CR. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sure.
One, don't forget that there's a food pantry down in the basement. So if you need any food, or you know someone who may be hungry, it's down there. Also, there's a free book lending library back there, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Offering box on the wall, food pantry downstairs.
Yeah.
Anything else, too?
There might be worship nights coming up, right?
Possibly, yes.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Structured.
It should start on Thursday, but we're going to see. We're going to see what happens, and then, yes, announcements. All right. Well, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just come before you. We need you more than anything. So, God, would you open our minds, our hearts, our ears to receive your word. You have something to say to every single one of us here. And Lord, we desire to enter into your presence. Father, anything that we have come in here this morning with that we might be wrestling or struggling with, Father, would you just lay your hand of peace upon that? Let any and all distractions be still right now in the name of Jesus. Let peace enter in. And let us just be able to feast on your word, Lord. We thank you and praise you for being a God that is with us. We thank you and praise you for being a God that truly speaks to us. And you have that expectation that we are going to hear your voice. So we thank you and praise you, Lord. Have your way today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So today, I am just going to be in the Word a lot. If you'd like to follow along, you can. Do we have scripture, maybe? Here's our first scripture of where we're going to be. And it will just keep rolling through. We'll be in Romans, we'll be in Acts, we'll be in Galatians, we'll be in Ephesians. So if you don't want to follow along with your Bible, that is okay. But enter into the Lord's presence and ask him, Lord, what would you have for me specifically today by hearing your word? We're continuing in the call of the Lord and what that looks like for your life. And today I'm speaking about Paul. And I'm sure that I could actually speak about Paul for probably a whole year.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much. There's so much richness. There's so much information. So I tried very hard of like, Lord, help me to piece this together the way that you would like it to be pieced together. And as I was studying and reading, I felt like the Lord had said, you know, this is one of the points. God is God, period. God has created all of us on purpose, with a purpose, for his will. God is God, and God will choose anyone that he chooses. No matter if we like them, if we don't like them, if we approve of them, or if we don't approve of them, God is God Almighty, and God chooses the ones he chooses. Romans 1, 1 through 7. We're going to be talking about the call of Paul, but he was called while he was Saul, okay? So Romans 1, 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the holy scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his namesake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Catch that. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. If you ever have that feeling like, I don't belong anywhere, I've done too many things in my life that the Lord would ever say, like, that one's mine. That one belongs to me. It is a lie if we believe we don't belong or we have done something too sinful, too bad to belong to God. We're created in Jesus Christ. Call on his name, you shall be saved. He makes it so simple for us. Thank you, Jesus. We are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's my number two? Here we go. Galatians 1, 11 through 24. This is where Paul is called by God. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. So this is Paul speaking right here. He was Saul. He did horrific things to the church of Jesus Christ. And now God has called him to be, like, calling you, you're my main man. You're the one I'm going to use. And he says, from birth. Paul's life, everything that he did up until this point of completely turning around for Jesus, persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. And we'll get into that. But it's beautiful to see how Paul's, like, mind, it shifted. I've actually been called since birth to preach the gospel. Chew on that for a minute. He's called by God's grace, not because Paul was like, you know what? I've been bad for a little bit. Maybe I should try good. It wasn't like that at all. So Paul went into Arabia and he returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. This was the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. Is that not pretty wild? Were you legit, and we'll get into it, have a murderer flip over because of God himself? He's like, you're the one I choose. You're the one I've called. You used to murder and persecute my church. That's why I'm going to use you. And now what are you going to do? You're going to preach my word. You're going to preach the gospel. And people get to hear that report. Are you kidding me? I know what he used to do. Is this real? Right? I would go to jail if Saul came in this place. We all would. We would be round up, punished, beaten, murdered for following the way, which is Jesus Christ. And I wonder how these people were feeling, like when they heard that report. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Is this a lie? Is this real? Is this a trap? Is this fake? I know what he used to do. We've been in hiding, right? Not all of them. Some are just like, I don't care. I'm going to preach the name of Jesus, right? But now they get to see what God has done in a radically transformed life. Saul to Paul. And they praise God because of me. They're praising God because of the miracle that God has done in Saul's life. God can choose anyone that he wants to. Now, Acts 22, 1 through 21. This is Paul speaking to a crowd. Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, like Hebrew, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. This is what he used to do, pursuing it violently, going after human beings, the ones he knew. You profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope I get to murder you. This is who he was. This is what he did until God says, you're the one I'm going to choose. he would throw them into prison. As also the high priest and all the council can testify, I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus. So he stole these letters, right? And went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. Paul's like, intercepted a letter from you to this one. You're now in prison. I'm coming after you because you wrote a letter. Verse 6, about noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Paul says, my companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. Okay, is that not crazy? He's on his way, right? To find out all of the followers of Jesus, to grab them, to put them in prison, to beat them, to harm them, to murder them. He's walking out some evil. And all of a sudden, he is met by the living God in his brilliant light. So brilliant, it physically blinds his eyes. He has this encounter with Jesus, the one that he actively, violently persecutes. And the Lord's like, that one I can use. I'm going to use that one. Is that not crazy? God is not crazy, but God chooses whoever he wants to use. Verse 12, a man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. He receives that miracle. Then he said, this is Ananias speaking, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Okay, that is very deep. Do you guys get that part, right? Where like Paul is so violent. He's all about murder. He is about killing the people that follow Jesus Christ. And God chooses him, speaks to him, allows him to see him, right? Because his will is to see the righteous one. God allows Saul at this moment to hear the voice of God Almighty. And then he uses Ananias. This is what the Lord has chosen you to do. This is what you're going to walk in. You're going to be a witness to all men. Like his life is radically changed. Moment after moment after moment with the presence of God and his miracles that he is choosing to do with him. Ananias says, and now what are you waiting for? As if Paul even knows what to do, right? But Ananias is like, now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I stood there, giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Oh my gosh. Paul gets to hear the voice of Jesus Christ and giving him instructions, directions. Quick, get up. They're not going to accept your testimony here. I need you to go over here. And Paul's like, okay, Lord, you realize what I used to do, right? I used to violently pursue and beat down and murder the people that follow you, that love you. I even stood there. I protected coats of men that were murdering your martyr, Stephen. He's preaching the gospel. He's saying Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I protected clothing as I approved watching someone being stoned to death, dying. Paul is probably really wrestling with this. It's a big deal for him. And he's confessing to the Lord. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Jesus is not like, yeah, I know. Okay, let's talk through this. Okay, let's go here with this. All right. Jesus still, I've given you direction. God knows that he has called Paul. He has chosen Paul. He allows Paul to be like, Lord, this is what I did though. And Jesus is like, yep, still, I want you to go. I want you to listen and obey. When you hear the Lord calling you, even though I know my past. I know all the wrong I've ever done. I know the things I've said. I know the things I should have said. I know the things I should have done. I know I can never take that back. When you hear the Lord speaking to you, calling you to go, you are to get up and go. Because I'm telling you, God is a redeemer. Yes. Anything that we have already done, okay, bad, good, even, but when you make a mistake, whoops, it's already been redeemed because he is our redeemer. He can still use you, obviously, no matter what, right? Moses, this is off script. Moses killed an Egyptian. What did God use Moses for? My goodness, leading millions of Israelites to the promised land. He used David, right? He calls David a man after his own heart. David killed a lot of people. David made a lot of mistakes. And God's like, that's my boy right there. That's the one that I love. That's the one that actually loves me. God will choose anyone that he wants to. And he has called all of us way back until, like, before we were born, on purpose to carry out what he has asked us to do for him. If you do not know your call, ask the Lord. Be vulnerable and real with him. God, I don't know what I'm called to do in this life. God, would you speak to me? Would you tell me, go, step into this, step into that. This is what I've chosen you for. This is what I've called you to. He will answer you. He's the word. He's always speaking. We're his sheep, right? The sheep know the shepherd's voice. He is talking. If we're missing it, be cool. Be still for a minute. Jesus, I want to know what you've chosen me to do. I want to know what you have called me into. My past, I cannot change it. Paul could never change what he did. Paul can never just be like, hey, could we bring Stephen back to life, please, and show everybody? Like, it's okay. God made, no, it is what it is. But Paul is trusting and believing in the Almighty God that he encountered. And he is listening to Jesus Christ now. Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Acts 26, 4 through 29. This is pretty much almost the same account, but worded a little bit differently. The Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. And this is Paul speaking. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. And he is talking actually before King Agrippa. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blasphemy. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. That would be like spurs, okay? Something really sharp, something that hurts when it gets you, right? Like you're kicking against this. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The Lord replied, now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Paul listened and obeyed. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner." Like, it's not in hiding. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray, God, that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." Paul is walking out his call, even in front of high priests, kings, governors, right? Governing officials. He's no longer He's not going to be in a corner hiding, knowing what the Lord has said to him for him to walk out and do. He's not even nervous about it. He has even said, "The Holy Spirit warns me every single time that I go from city to city. Hey, you know what's going to wait for you? Prison, okay? It's going to be a hard time. You're going to be beat up. You're going to be shipwrecked. A lot of trouble's coming your way." And Paul still goes for the gospel of Jesus Christ because of his encounter and because he knows who he is in the Lord and what he has been called to do. He knows he is chosen by God, and he walks it out with the Lord. As Paul had just said, except for these chains. So he's in chains in the courtroom with the king. But he says here in Ephesians 4, 1 through 8, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Do you feel like, you know what, I think I'm doing pretty good living a worthy life of what I've been called to do by God? If you don't, have a conversation with the Lord. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." Your calling by the Lord is a gift from God. It might be very hard. It might come with trouble. Be a prisoner for God himself. Your calling, him choosing you, is a gift. Receive the gift. Even though hardship comes, trouble comes, he's overcome the whole world, right? And he is always with us. We are able to walk out our calling by God Almighty himself with him, because he's with us. He's over all, right? He's through all. He's in all. He also chooses to dwell within us, right? We don't do anything alone. Paul, radical life change. He was able to do it through the strength of Jesus Christ. So I bless you all with that. I know I read a lot, but the word is so rich. So dive into it even more. So Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are a God who chooses whoever you want. You are a God who calls us. Even before the day we are born, you know us. Our days are written down in your book before any one of those days even comes to pass. You have such a purpose for us. Let us receive it, Lord. Let us receive our calling. Our past does not define us. Our identity is in you. So we ask, Lord, that our ears are so open that we would hear your voice say, "This is who you are. This is what I have called you to do. You have been chosen by me, God Almighty." And Lord God, that we would trust your voice. And if we have to make a complete turnaround, let it be so. You are the God who transforms hearts. I thank you and praise you for filling us up with your Holy Spirit, with boldness that we can walk out our calling that comes from God, not from man. Let our eyes be fixed on you. Let our spirits be connected with your spirit, Lord God, that we would know without a doubt what I used to do, that is in the past. What I do today for my future is exactly what God has called me to do. I bless you with that. In Jesus' name, amen. And if anyone would like prayer at all over their calling or their purpose, please come. Please come and we will pray. I would love to pray with you. But I bless you all in Jesus' name.